Y'all, Donald Trump dropped some kicks and they ugly. Wait, that's not how I'm supposed to start the show.
Listen up! You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones.
Good morning, great morning. What's up, y'all? Welcome to News of My Fiance. It is February 22nd, 2024. A lot of things going on. One of those things is my fiance is abroad. She is abroad as in a different country, not she's abroad, guys. Come on, let's. I need you to think better of me. She's in a different country right now on her way home this evening. So you got me for the next hour and a half. Solo Dolo, your very own DJ Ambush. Really looking forward to today's show. Again, like we always say, it's been an interesting week since the last show. And also, we're live. We are live from the studio on our Instagram, News of My Fiance. So if you're following us there, you can definitely check out. It's the first time you get a little inside view on what it looks like to do the show from in here. But, I don't know if y'all saw this, but Donald Trump dropped some sneakers. There was a sneaker convention in Philadelphia, you know, shout out to the hometown, home region, sneaker convention earlier this week. And Donald Trump went there and dropped some sneakers that are selling, for $400. It's the ugliest of shoe. It is ghastly. If y'all haven't seen the shoe, please hit the Googles. Take a look at this shoe. It is a clown shoe. It really looks like clown wear. Like, seriously, not streetwear. Definitely clown wear. Someone asked, I saw someone like doing a Man on the Street segment on Instagram. And they were asking people, you know, would you buy this shoe? And if he were to get locked up, do you think the price would go up? The value in the shoe would go up? I do think the value of the shoe would go up if he got locked up, for sure. For sure. That's just the way, you know, sneaker culture and streetwear works. But it's a bad shoe, bro. It's gold. Yeah, it's an all gold shoe. It's got a white sole, and then the American flag is on the upper, is on the cuff. It's with a big T on the side. It's bad. It's just a terrible shoe altogether. But yeah, he's selling those for $400, and apparently, not apparently, I was watching. I caught a Fox News segment on Twitter, and the guest on the show, who obviously is an expert on Black life, says this is going to be a way that he connects with the Black community because they love sneakers so much. I was so excited to see an expert on Black life talk to us about sneaker culture. And his confidence was the best part for me. It was like, oh man, in the circles in which he exists. This guy's the pro. This is the black culture whisperer over here. It was bad. It was so bad. Ridiculous. Fiancés, how are you? How was your week? What's happening? We got a text already. Good morning. That little abroad pun got me. We're here for you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Being here for me really matters. Shout out to Rose Haven. They held an event, was that Tuesday night, two nights ago? The week is a blur to me. It was a conversation about livability with regards to the houseless community. The Numbers and X-Ray partnered to live broadcast that, live stream it rather. We streamed it on the Numbers Twitch and on X-Ray's YouTube. really, really fun to be able to collaborate with the team. This is the home team, X-Ray. Love these guys over here. This is where the numbers started. So anytime we can work together, you know, I'm always jumping for that opportunity. But it was a really, really good conversation. So shout out to Rose Haven for hosting that. Shout out to some of the panelists that were there that day. I believe representatives from Street Roots, Afro Village for sure, Milk Crate Kitchen. Super shout out to the Milk Crate Kitchen team that came through and provided food and refreshments, very healthy food and refreshments. I'm not a big salad guy. I know I'm supposed to eat them, but they had a really tasty salad. Salad was so good, I went back for seconds of the salad. Straight up. And just shout out to the whole team and the support that they give us. Just tuning in, both on the numbers and X-Ray. We got some super, super, really dope feedback that day. You know, it was awesome. Absolutely awesome. we got some more texts. But she is abroad. What the F? Shoes? I was hoping you were going to say boots made for walking. Barf. I'm assuming that barf is because you actually saw the shoes. They are terrible. These shoes are bad, yo. Like, super bad. Super bad. But with regards to that, that panel discussion, if you did miss it, for whatever reason, if you missed the live broadcast, you can check that out on YouTube. It is on X-Ray's YouTube. And we'll lock it in and make sure it's on our Twitch and get that posted and have it saved up there. But really, really good conversation. You know, talking about what it means to transform the lives of our houseless citizens downtown specifically. But yeah, it was really, really good. Really dope. We already talked about the sneakers, you know, I'm sure we'll keep talking about them throughout the show as people are, taking a look at the kicks. They're just, again, they're bad. They're so bad. I do want to mention this real quick. She Who Will Not Be Named of PDX Real. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but, there's been a little pivot on that page. It's a super anti-Portland page. There's a lot of these pages on Instagram. There's a lot of these accounts on YouTube and Twitter of people who say they love Portland, but have nothing but bad things to say about it. And then, of course, are like super right-wing on top of that. And that page in particular, there was a moment when they started picking up steam. And I guess there was a need to kind of define whatever that page was or define what that movement was or whatever she thought she was doing to, I don't know, put some respect around it. And she was calling herself a community reporter. I pause because, yeah, anyway. now, because of the way that there is no type of pushback on the violence that happens on that page, no pushback on the racist rhetoric, the homophobic rhetoric, the anti-Palestine rhetoric. Some of that is starting to spill out into real life for them. The opposition, people's, you know, resistance to that. And it's getting real in the streets. part of that is, you know, well, the result of that has now become kind of a pivot with the way that they are sharing the content or the point of the page in a way of saying, we crowdsource the community for the information that we share on our page. I take a pause because does that sound responsible? Like in any shape, form, or fashion? Does that sound responsible? We crowdsource the community to share on the platform that is pretty big. And it's called PDX Real, not PDX Could Be Real or PDX Opinion. It's called PDX Real, and you're crowdsourcing content from your followers without, you know, any type of scrutiny on where the content's coming from, without any type of measure to legitimize the content. You're just sharing anecdotal BS. And now it's starting to bounce back. You know, kudos. Kudos. Good job. Good job. Yeah. So it's a little, it's mad annoying, but starting to see this pivot real quick to, you know, a place where they can be less responsible for the hate that they're putting out there. Yeah. It's par for the course. It makes sense. It makes sense. So as far as the stories today, in national news, a DEI-based grant programs fighting for survival against the whites. I mean, against the right wing, fighting for survival against them. It's terrible. And they're coming for all of us. There are definitely moments when I think about the mission of the numbers and some of our funding sources, especially within the grant side of things, and how that can dry up real quick with initiatives like this coming from the right, picking away at, you know, organizations and type of support for minority focused nonprofits and you know, people that are out there that want to actually level the playing field. Next story we'll be doing is the New York Police Department, you know, amid all the things that are happening right now, I believe someone just got shot in the Bronx last week and they refused to release the body cam footage. We already know why, that they're still doctoring it. But anyway, with all that going on, they have a dance team. NYPD has a dance team. Yeah. Like, okay, there's time for that. And I'm not saying, you know, people can't have their extracurricular activities, sure. But should the dance team be performing on local news with all the things that the NYPD is dealing with right now? I don't know if y'all know this. They got a robot that patrols the subways that is supposed to be, you know, enhancing public safety. I don't know. Maybe Renee should look into getting a robot here on TriMet so he can feel safe not being accosted. And then also, West Virginia, the West Virginia House has decided it's time to prosecute librarians for books that children may encounter in the libraries. I lie to you not. I lie to you not. Librarians, both in public libraries and in the schools, are now facing the possibility of being prosecuted if some of the students come across books that are deemed pornographic or obscene. You know, it's not like the libraries don't already have regulations in place to make sure children aren't, you know, exposed to something obscene. Air quotes on obscene. But yeah, this is just a step in the absolute worst direction, a step gone too far. But yeah, that's the show for today. So those are the topics, along with whatever you guys want to talk about and that I'm seeing in our text. Good morning, Thriving on Thursdays with Amazing Fiance, minus the abroad. What is wrong with you guys? What is right with you guys? Good morning, Ambush. Rudy Rudo here. What up, Roots? Thanks for hopping on the live, the IG live there. And then we got one more. They have a robot downtown. There's a robot downtown. Did I forget about the robot? We got a robot downtown here. This is sound. Where is it? And what is it doing? Is it welcoming tourists? What's the Portland robot doing? Need more info on that. All right. Well, we're going to hop into a music break. What time is it? Yeah. We'll hop into a music break. And I'll be back with the news. Let's see if I can do all this stuff. Bam. All right. Get the music on. Bam. All right. Good morning. Welcome back to News of My Fiance. Normally with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. But today it's just me, y'all. It's just me. Shout out to everybody joining us on live on my personal IG. Also, we'll be switching back over to the News of My Fiance IG. And at some point throughout the show, we'll switch back over there. But yeah, thank you for tuning in. Thank you to everybody that's shooting us a text, that's joining the conversation. So right before this, as we started talking about some of the stories we're going to be talking about on today's show, I did mention that New York Police Department, not only do they have a dance team amongst a bunch of other teams, they also have a robot that patrols that was supposed to be increasing public safety on the subways, like an actual from the Jetsons robot. Sound like a terrible idea, especially because there was additional manpower needed. Like, the robot was there for public safety in the New York subways, but the robot itself needed an officer to be with it to keep it safe. Because, of course, New York subways. So I said, maybe, you know, Renee Gonzalez, our commissioner of public safety here, who lied, flat out lied about being accosted by a black woman on the Max, in an effort to, you know, I don't even know what the effort was for. It just made no sense. You're the commissioner of public safety telling the public you don't feel safe. So I don't know what the game plan was. In any event, he was saying, I can no longer ride public transportation, you know, so, you know, my safety's at stake, whatever, Renee. So I cracked the joke saying, you know, well, maybe we need a robot on our public transit systems. And someone texted us and said, we have a robot downtown. And in reading the text, I'm like, we do? And I kind of like faintly remembered it, I guess. I don't know. And then they just sent in the picture. Yeah, we definitely have a robot downtown. At like 5th and Burnside. What? This ain't it. Yeah, this is ridiculous. In any event, let's get into this first story. Yes, the West Virginia House has decided it's time to prosecute librarians for the books children may encounter in their libraries, whether that is public libraries or public school libraries. The House of Delegates of West Virginia has passed a controversial bill that could impact public and school libraries across the state. House Bill 4654, which passed with a 85-12 vote on Friday, seeks to remove protections for public librarians and school librarians from criminal prosecution in cases where minors encounter books or content deemed obscene. The bill is now headed to the state Senate for further consideration. Under the proposed legislation, criminal liability exemptions would be lifted from schools presenting local or state-approved curriculum, as well as public libraries and museums displaying obscene matter to minors without parental supervision. I'm gonna run that back. As well as public libraries and museums displaying obscene matter to minors without parental supervision. This move could subject adults to felony charges, fines up to $25,000, and a maximum of 5 years in prison if convicted of knowingly displaying obscene materials to minors. Supporters of the bill argue that it aims to protect children from exposure to sexually explicit or pornographic materials in taxpayer-funded spaces. They assert that the bill does not ban books, but instead ensures that such materials are not accessible to children without parental guidance. Proponents emphasize the importance of safeguarding children's well-being and cite existing protections in online environments as a precedent. However, opponents of the bill voice concerns about potential unintended consequences, including increased challenges to classic books and improper criminal charges against library staff. They argue that the bill's language is vague and could lead to ambiguity and legal disputes, ultimately burdening counties and librarians with unnecessary court cases, of course. Delegate Brandon Steele, the lead sponsor of the bill, contends that it targets bad actors who may introduce pornography into public and school libraries with the intent to desensitize children. Despite criticism, Steele maintains that the legislation upholds the sanctity of public spaces and aligns with long-standing principles of criminal conduct. This debate in West Virginia reflects a broader trend seen in several states, where similar measures are either removing criminal liability exemptions for libraries or expanding the definition of obscenity to encompass a wider range of materials. Last year, Montana enacted similar legislation, signaling a growing shift in approaches to regulating library content. As the bill advances to the state Senate, tensions remain high between lawmakers and lawmakers advocating for child protection and those defending the freedom of expression and educational mission of libraries and schools. Real quick, you're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 on 107.1 FM and in Nehalem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach and at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. So, yeah, can you imagine? Can you actually imagine librarians just trying to do their job? They're already facing so many challenges with the books that the right are trying to remove from libraries, public libraries and school district libraries. So now that's not enough. That just isn't enough. We need to go a step further and create a situation where librarians can be prosecuted, can be charged, can be fined, can be jailed up to 5 years. And that's been extended to also museums in West Virginia, where minors without parental supervision or parental consent come across material deemed obscene in public spaces that already have degrees of regulation. There's a slippery slope, and then there's just the greased hot baby oil slide straight into mayhem. Because this is wild. This is wild. We're locking up librarians now? Again, this is a party that claims to want to do so much for children. They care about kids so much. But they won't make sure simple things like, I don't know, making sure schools are providing meals during the summer happens. I can't remember which state that was in, but I believe it was Louisiana. Louisiana, if I'm wrong, I apologize. But I believe it was the governor of Louisiana that refused federal funding to feed children outside of the school year. Like, but y'all care about kids. I couldn't imagine it. And you know, we have the, I don't want to say privilege, yeah, of living in a place that has a reputation and has done the marketing of being a really, really liberal city, Portland. And there are other places like this, blue cities, blue states all across the U.S. And when we see things like this pop up, it's like, oh, well, that could never happen here. That could never happen here, right? Look at abortion rights. We never saw that happening, right? I don't know if you guys have caught any of this, but now it's extending to embryos. They are fighting for the rights for embryos. And so much so, hypothetically, say someone were in the lab and they mishandled an embryo and they dropped it. That person can now be, what they're pushing for is that person being able to be charged with an involuntary, you know, manslaughter or something to that degree. Like, this is how far things have gone. This is how quickly things are just descending. And we got to stay on top of it. Yeah, but librarians, nobody's safe. Nobody's safe in these right-wing streets. No one's safe at all. We'll take a look at some of the text messages that we just got in. Let's see. Again, shout out to MJ. We miss you on the air this morning. Shout out to everybody that is joining us on the live. Larry, what's good? I still got to stop by the studio and grab some art, bro. All right. In 25 years of teaching, the only pornography I ever saw in schools was stuff the kids found on their own or brought from home. That came across the text thread. Yeah. I mean, everyone's got cell phones, man. Everyone's got cell phones. The kids want to find out about, you know, if they're curious about sex, if they're curious about the way bodies work, they can do that on their own. That's a very good point, though. Let's stick there for a minute. let's say I'm a youth. I'm a today's youth. And I'm looking for porn. I'm not going to the school library. That's definitely the last place I'm going to look for pornographic material. I'm not going to the school library. I promise you. And maybe, you know, hey, you know, I'm pushing 48. Maybe I'm out of touch. Maybe the kids are going to, like, what is happening here? I'm not going to the school library. I'm not going to the public library. I'm not going to the museum. So what are you actually doing other than trying to find ways to feed more people to the prison industrial complex? What are you actually doing? It's ridiculous, because what's going to happen is you're going to have one of these, you know, Mothers for Liberty. They're going to go into a library with their child. They're going to find the book, and then they're going to send their kid down that aisle. That's what's going to happen. They're going to start staging these situations and saying, see, it's a good thing we have this bill in place, because otherwise we need to prosecute this librarian. Like, it's nonsense. It's a waste of people's time and energy and money, except that, of course, you know, if you have some stocks in prisons, you know, that works for them. We got another text. Dance. The hell? Ancestral way of communication in the community, and is one of the oldest linked activities. Dance. What are they trying to improve? Their community approach, or worse, trying to share their humanity with the rest of the world? Gross. Don't believe their dance lies. We all know. We tell stories in our dance. Choreographing murders is rude. What story could they tell? This is in response to the New York Police Department having a dance team. I can't wait to give you guys some more information on that when we get into that story. Another text. A number of red states are turning down that federal nutrition money. That'll show these those Democrats. It's really interesting. It really is interesting. When you see legislators take stances like that against federal aid and funding for their constituents, so you're in a place where you don't necessarily need to worry about how your kids are eating during the summer. Do you think that all the Republican children, or anyone that voted Republican, all their kids are great and they don't need assistance during the summer? Like, it's some of the decisions, a lot of the decisions they make are so self-defeating, and it affects in a great way the populace that are actually voting for them, and they just keep voting for them. I mean, who am I to complain, right? There's going to be a lot of us voting for Biden. Begrudgingly. Sanabella, another text. Sanabella says she won't, with a capital W, chew on the Trump shoes, the T-Rump shoes, probably made with some sort of lead product anyway. Sanabella is one of the beautiful, amazing dogs that joins us during the show each week. Shout out. Yeah, man. Let me see, a bot for the bus. A bot for the bus. This is all pre-Civil War shenanigans. Yes, it is, and it's mingling with those electric scooters. Please, I want to push it over. And that's a reaction to following up again on the fact that we, too, have a robot downtown. I can't even imagine. I want to see this thing. I got to find this robot and spend some time with it. You know, kick it. See what's up. Check out, you know, what's going on with his personal life. But yeah, man, I'm curious. How are you guys feeling about this? They want to lock up librarians. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I can't imagine a better use of, you know, law enforcement's time. And what does this do for librarians? What does this do for people that have been, you know, dedicated their lives to sharing literature with children, again, both in public libraries and in these schools? You're creating a dangerous situation for these people, for the people in these careers. But you know, this is only phase one. Phase two is watching people who have been in these careers for decades, watching them feel endangered and phasing them out, and then hiring right wingers, hiring white nationalists and Republicans to step into those positions. Y'all aren't slick. We see what is happening. Y'all not low. Y'all not. We see it. This is terrible. We gotta stay vigilant. This is why we're constantly saying on the show, yeah, the general elections, they are important. Are they more important than what's happening locally? No. No. There are things that are happening locally that you gotta stay on top of. Your school district. Now, again, your librarians, who is your alderman, who's the city council, mayor, governors, your DA. These are people that are directly affecting how you live, their quality of life. That's extremely important. You got to stay on top of that. This is how things are slipping. We watched Trump pack and stack the courts during his first 4 years. He is not done. I'm saying this on a record now, where things stand. Do I think that he'll win in November? I do. I do think he'll win in November. I think the Dems are doing a very poor job of rallying support, especially in light of the conflict, the genocide that is happening in Gaza. And they're ignoring the will of the people, and they're being extremely tone deaf, and they're creating voter apathy. And then while all of this is happening, they are actually blaming the voters for not wanting to support this president. And that simply just isn't how it works, right? If you're campaigning, it's your job to tell me why to vote for you. It's not your job to continue to do things that I am against and then tell me I have an obligation to vote for you or else the other guy's going to win. Doy, duh. Yeah, if you lose, the other guy's going to win. So try to win. I don't know. Put some thought to that. I mean, you know, just an idea, just a thought. Maybe don't try to blame the public for your terrible leadership. Terrible leadership. So, yeah, again, the national elections that happen of great import. But these local elections, this is where the changes are happening. The things that are happening on the local level. And honestly, you may be tired of hearing me say this. That's where we have to actually galvanize support and really position ourselves to affect change on the greater scheme, greater scope, larger scale. We're looking at legislators that are in power in Washington that we actually didn't put there. We actually didn't invest, and I don't mean just financially. We haven't really held these people accountable in any way on their way to Washington in order for us to feel like they have some responsibility to us once they got there. The lobbyists run the show. Big tech, all these larger industries, the corporations, special interest groups, they run the show. But what happens when you have a candidate that has been beholden to the people since they were at the local level and has that relationship? I think it could be altruistic. It could be, you know, some pie in the sky stuff. But I feel like if you have a candidate that has a history of civic service and having a history of being not just in community, but having a symbiotic relationship with their constituents, it makes it a little bit harder for them to just get up in there and just do whatever. Now, granted, the machine is the machine, and the machine is going to machine. Ultimately, it all needs to change. You know, if Morgan was here, she'd cut me off and say, burn it all down. So ultimately, yes, it all needs to change. But still, there are too many things happening that we can affect, that we can, you know, grab the reins back. Every 4 years we hear, you know, this is the most important election of our lifetime. I need y'all to take a look at what Trump got done within the 4 years that he was there. And I need y'all to take a look at what they're planning for his next 4 years. This might be it. Like, dude is trying to not reshape democracy, completely obliterate it. Completely. He just lost a court case in which he has to pay $355 million. That's cool. But he can still run. He can no longer conduct business. Let's peep this real quick. He can no longer conduct business in New York. For 3 years, he's ineligible. But he is still eligible to be the president. Yeah, that's a failing. That's an absolute failing. 100%. And I look at the Dems like, public enemy number one is this person that you've been warning us about, right? Like, this is the year they're going to ramp it up and saying, you know, this man is trying to ruin the United States. He's trying to obliterate democracy. He's what we really need to worry about. But y'all haven't been acting like he's what we need to worry about for the last 4 years. Biden's number one concern should have been the person who led an insurrection cannot be eligible to be president again. Whatever lawyers he needs to have in place, whatever constitutional lawyers, whatever. I don't even care. Like, throw decorum out the window. Make sure this man who led an insurrection cannot run again. It's pretty simple. And then, you know what? Create another monster for us to do the lesser of two evils with. Just, you know, but I mean, good grief. Just... What is this obsession with just losing this bad? horribly. And like I said, you know, chances are looking pretty grim for November for the Democrats. It's looking pretty bad. Pretty bad. Got a couple more texts. Let's see here. Okay, read that one already. Bam, bam, bam. Read that one. What? No food money for the babies in the summer? I want my table scraps. Oh, man. Yeah, it's just wild. It just really is wild. Looking at the way the Republicans are operating right now. Absolutely incredible. But again, yeah, if you want to join the conversation, you can shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. Again, that is 971-220-5979. Shout out to the squad that is rocking with us every Thursday morning, listening in their cars with their kids on the way to school, texting with us, joining us at live shows. Cliff and I will be back at it this Sunday at White Eagle. Always pause because I'm confused with White Owl sometimes. But White Eagle on Russell Street for No Requests. It's not a party, it's a vibe. But this month's show, we'll be paying tribute to J Dilla and Dove from De La Soul. So it is our event, it's our annual event. We did it last year, called De La Soul. So check us out, you know, De La Soul this Sunday at White Eagle. The numbers and X-Ray Zones, DJ Cliff and myself, DJ Ambush, rocking out from 6 to 9. Listen, we pushing 50. It's from 6 to 9. It's on a Sunday. You know, it's, if you're not going to be out too late, y'all good. Y'all good. But we're going to hop into another music break. I think, yeah, let's hop into some Kindred. Shout out to Philly again. Let's hop into some Kindred Family Soul. And I'll catch you after the music break. After that, we'll be coming back. What are we going to be talking about? Yes, the DEI-based programs that are under attack. Ridiculousness, man. absolutely ridiculous. Welcome back to News to My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. This week, I am solo. As far as in the booth, I'm solo. But you know what? I got y'all, so I'm never alone. I'm never alone. We in these streets. Next story. Let's see here. Wait. Okay. DEI-based grant programs fighting for survival against the whites or the right. But you know what? Before we do that, we did get a couple more texts over the break. Some really good stuff. I want to make sure I get to those people. We were discussing in the last segment how they are now trying to prosecute librarians for books that children may come across, obscene books that they might come across. In response to that, we received a text, because it's never actually been about kids finding porn. That's just a scapegoat. If we're talking about trans folks, if talking about trans folks is explicit to these folks, all that's saying is that they view those marginalized gender identities as inherently sexual. It's an adult response that kids would have no context to get in the first place. That part, okay, yeah, hard agree. The adults are constantly sexualizing gender, constantly doing that. This is just an old way of thinking. I definitely struggled with that for a second. I was born in 76, y'all. I will be 48 this year. And my children, my two youngest children, going to school here in the Portland school district, were learning about gender when they were like 9 and 10, learning about gender identities that first year here. And they were coming home and they were educating me, not like, hey, dad, let me teach you about gender, but just the way they were having these conversations was educational to me. I was learning. It was helping me unravel any preconceived notions around sex and gender and how any of that worked. And it there wasn't some struggle with trying to get them to understand it. You know, they were in a school system in the school district that taught it. And that was it. And on to the next subject. They're not now seeking pornography. Like, it's the adults. It's always the adults overreaching and just, yeah, exposing the kids to what's going on in their minds. I mentioned earlier that I do think, as things are right now, I do think Trump is poised to win. I think if he's not disqualified in some shape, form, or fashion, I do think that Biden's going to lose the election. And in response to that, someone said, listen, fiance, if you have any push, say it louder now. No way again. Trump cannot get in. Yeah, I don't. And I'm going to be clear. I'm not saying that I want Trump. I don't want Trump anywhere but behind bars. That's the only place I feel safe for Trump to be. There or broke. Just somewhere where he can't harm people. Like, seriously. No, it's no good. It's no good. All right, let's hop in here. Next story. This next story delves into the intersection of business law and social justice as conservative groups legal challenges against companies offering grants to historically disadvantaged groups are making waves across the nation. 6 months ago, conservative organizations initiated lawsuits against companies and investment firms providing grant programs exclusively to historically disadvantaged groups, alleging discrimination and unlawfulness. This tactic appears to be yielding results, as indicated by recent revelations from the Fearless Fund CEO, Arian Simone. This is a Black woman. Founded in 2019, Fearless Fund, an Atlanta-based venture firm, has been significantly impacted by litigation, scaling back from 19 employees to just 6, The firm's grant program, aimed at funding Black women entrepreneurs, faced legal scrutiny under the Civil Rights Act of 1866, leading to substantial financial losses and operational challenges. The legal battle reflects a broader pattern of conservative litigation targeting initiatives designed to address funding disparities among historically disadvantaged groups. Hello Alice, an online platform for business owners offering grants to Black-owned small trucking companies, also faced legal challenges, resulting in significant downsizing and funding setbacks. These lawsuits have not only affected the operations of targeted companies, but have also had chilling effects on their ability to raise capital and continue their mission of promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion in the business world. The legal battle has ignited debates over affirmative action, DEI initiatives, and the role of private companies in addressing systemic inequalities. Some view these lawsuits as an attempt to stifle efforts to level the playing field for underrepresented entrepreneurs, while others argue for a more inclusive approach to addressing funding disparities. It's just absolutely ridiculous. As the legal landscape evolves and the debate over DEI initiatives intensifies, the founders of targeted companies remain resilient, determined to continue their fight for equality and economic opportunity. Imagine, right? We have organizations that have made it their mission to try to level the playing field, to try to, you know, undo decades of inequity within Black businesses trying to survive, trying to get their foot in the door. We already know the history of banks not approving loans for us and, you know, us not getting grants. There's so many different things. And here we are, people have taken up the charge on their own to do what they can do to try to make it a little bit easier. This is how weird racism is and how not just counterproductive, how it affects society on a whole and those in power, the white supremacists that are in power. If Black businesses are thriving, it stimulates the economy for everyone. Because here's the thing, when we're talking about, you know, who's at the beginning of the supply chain, these aren't resources that are owned by Black companies, but these are resources that Black companies will have to rely upon in order to conduct business. So ultimately, this is going into the pockets of white-owned companies. The more successful Black businesses that we have, the better overall the economy is going to do. And who benefits? Ultimately, the 1%. They would much rather benefit less because the racism is so heavy. They're so much more addicted to racism than the money. That is wild to me. That is mind-boggling. It boggles the mind. It's like, what are we talking about? It's so crazy. It's just, I don't get it. Really, I don't get it. But I will tell you this, as a leader of a Black-led organization that focuses on erasing barriers for Black and brown people in the media scape, this is of grave concern to me. I remember when I first found out about Fearless Fund, I was really excited. That was so dope to have a fund in place to help Black women with their businesses, give them all the support they need. And it wasn't just financial. There are other support services that they, you know, have in place there to help Black women grow their businesses. When I first heard about them, really excited. And then the very next thing I heard was they were coming under fire. To go from 19 employees to just 6, yeah, you've crippled them. You've effectively crippled them. I don't know how much longer they're going to be around. But the amount of money, the millions of dollars that have been put into stamping out efforts like that, for what? Because they have this vision that financially stable Black communities, Black power to them, Black supremacy, some other crap they made up, they equate it to the way that they've been behaving all this time. Black power is not equivalent to white power. It isn't. That's, we don't want to operate that way. That's not what we're seeking at all. there's this fear that if black people are given a certain degree of control, we're going to reverse things and do to white society what white society has done to us for centuries. No one wants that. That's y'all's forefathers. That's not what we're here for. That's definitely not the way that we want to coexist. It just isn't. And again, like I said, you'd rather financially shoot yourself in the foot than to let us have a fair shake. The very idea, the premise of these lawsuits is to live in this false reality where everyone has the same 24 hours. There are no additional challenges that we face. They're in complete denial of our reality. They're in complete denial of the things that we say we're going through. They're choosing to look the other way on some of the practices that have historically existed when it comes to black businesses. Oh, that's not real. They're making that up. And they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. Yeah, I don't have an interest in wanting to live in anyone's false reality. And I try to do my very best effort not to argue with people that don't want to deal with reality. However, we are now in a situation, or have been in a situation, where white supremacy is going to continue to do whatever it can to keep their boot on our necks while saying there is no boot on your neck. What's this boot of which you speak? We encountered something similar here, and I wish I could remember the man's name. He goes around from state to state filing these lawsuits. There was a fund in place for the black community here in Portland during the pandemic to help support us. Black businesses, black people, for any of the adversities and challenges that we faced because of cultural and societal inequities. And that fund got halted. Like, there were funding cycles that were supposed to be happening until this money ran out, the money that was allocated for us. And before they could do the final cycle, the money got held up because of efforts just like this one. Just like this one. Wow, we got a couple more texts. Oh, so, yeah, we mentioned at the top of the show that Trump dropped some sneakers at SneakerCon in Philly. Someone said, so I did take a look at the shoes, but did you see the bottle of Victory 47 cologne? What the hell does that smell like? I don't want to imagine. Yeah, he also dropped cologne. Listen, y'all, we are watching a man that has $355 million to pay. So, you know, he's pushing product now. In response to the story we just covered, another text, they're being torn down because they're raising people up, specifically black women. Black women are constantly under attack. Constantly. Constantly. Another text, it sounds like they're scared of not having access to 100% of funding sources. I wonder who else might have felt that way. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, it's not just criminal. You know what I'm saying? It's not just criminal. There's this state of delusion that they want us all to exist in. And I can't do it, y'all. I just can't. I absolutely cannot do it. I'm not going to have this conversation with y'all talking about how hard it is for white businesses and the challenges that they face are equal to those of black businesses. It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. We're not doing it at all. Another text. As our schools are severely underfunded for decades now, libraries and librarians now being attacked. It all adds up to an uneducated populace that falls more easily for racist tropes and propaganda. Say that. I'm going to read that again. Thank you, whoever texted. I'm going to read that again. Please listen very closely. As our schools are severely underfunded for decades now, libraries and librarians now being attacked. It all adds up to an uneducated populace that falls more easily for racist tropes and propaganda. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. The floor was good. This is why it's important to stay engaged with our local elections and pay attention to who is in leadership on a local level. We can't allow this to happen. And do understand, while we can blame the right for the strategy, we can blame the right for the initiatives that they're taking to change our lives for the worse, we are letting it happen. We don't have anyone to blame for this but ourselves, period. There's only so many times that we can watch these school district videos and get so upset and retweet them. And can you believe this? And it's happening in your school district. Believe it. Believe it. Moms for Liberty are all over the place. This is happening in your school district. This is happening in the school district your nephew or niece are in, you know, in the next state. Check on your fam. It's actually happening. And if it isn't happening in your school district, in the school districts where it is happening in other states, we got to put some attention on that. We have to reverse. We have to get involved. It's not every 4 years. We have to stay engaged. A couple more text messages before I hop into the next story. Of course, this all benefits the 1%. Absolutely. Absolutely. Someone said, pull the effing car over. I need to puke. I went off this effing ride. My money back now. Yeah, man. It's challenging, to say the least. To say the very least. But yeah, I'm sure we're going to continue to see more organizations that have made it their mission to create some equity and diversity within funding spaces for Black-led organizations and funding efforts within Black-led organizations and women-led organizations and Black women-led organizations and queer-led organizations. We're going to keep seeing these efforts come under fire. What do you want to do about it? As much as we enjoy the services that these organizations provide, as much as we come to rely on some of these funding sources, they are now under attack. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? What do you feel like? Do you feel any obligation? I feel like there are too many things happening at once. And you know what? I get it. To that point of so many things happening at once. So people, everybody's just trying to pay their bills. They want to make sure they have enough, you know, money for gas and lunch today. I get it. Capitalism is doing its job on all of us. I definitely get it. But you got to step up. You got to step up, y'all. We got to make some things happen. All right. What is the last story? Oh, the last story is indeed the NYPD's dance team. Yeah, NYPD's dance team. I'm going to take one more music break. Before we do that, yeah. Thank you to everybody following us on live. I'm going to switch over to the News of My Fiance live stream on Instagram for this next segment, for the last part of the show. Again, shout out to everybody in the comments. This is dope. Thank y'all so much. Thanks for keeping me company while my fiance is abroad. She's traveling. She's on her way, safely returning to us. So she'll be back in studio with us next week. I don't know if we'll be live next week. You know, you can't just be springing cameras on people first thing in the morning. But we're going to see. We're going to see. Shout out to everybody that has been joining us live. I've been live streaming here from the studio on my IG and my personal IG, and also on the News of My Fiance IG, which I'm back there now. Maybe we'll find some way to be able to do this more frequently. I just did it because I was in here on my lonesome, needed some more company. But MJ will be back next week. I don't know, maybe I can talk her into doing this again. I don't know. I think she'll, you know what? Maybe I don't talk her into doing it. Maybe you guys talk her into doing it. So maybe you guys hit the comment section of the live streams. Here it is. We're scheming on the radio. Hit the comment sections of the live stream and tell MJ how much you'd love to be able to see her in the morning. Set myself up. I know, set myself up. Ambush, do better. Anyways, before we close out, let's get into this last story. Let's get into it. Let's do it. The New York Police Department's dance team has come under scrutiny amid concerns about departmental funding. Recently, the NYPD dance team, known for its focus on dancing and spreading positivity, faced criticism following a performance aired on local television station, on the local television station, PIX 11. Some viewers, including Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, questioned whether funds allocated for the dance team were diverted from local music programs. Mayor Eric Adams, a former NYPD officer himself, stepped in to defend the team, emphasizing the importance of providing officers with outlets for self-expression and bonding. In a social media post, Mayor Adams highlighted the dedication of officers who work long hours to protect the city, asserting that the dance team serves and protects in its own unique way. The dance team serves and protects in its own unique way. Do tell, Eric. He's my least favorite, Eric. I should just say that. In response to the backlash, PIX 11 hosted an interview with the dance team to address critics' concerns. The team's captain, Autumn Rain Martinez, expressed disappointment at the negative comments, emphasizing the team's goal of fostering camaraderie and unity amongst officers. Deputy Commissioner of Public Information, Tariq Shepard, clarified that the dance team operates entirely on a voluntary basis and does not utilize department funds or taxpayer dollars. Officers participate in dance practice and performances on their own time, using dance as a means to cope with the stress and maintain mental illness. The NYPD offers a total of 47 athletic teams to its officers, including equestrian, paintball, and Brazilian jiu-jitsu. These teams often compete against their counterparts from the New York Fire Department at major sports venues across the city. The upcoming police versus fire basketball game, for instance, will take place at the Barclay, home of the Brooklyn Nets. While the debate over departmental funding and officer engagement continues, it's worth noting that the broader context of such recreational activities within law enforcement agencies, critics argue that resources could be better allocated to address pressing community needs, while proponents emphasize the importance of morale-boosting initiatives for officers facing high-stress environments. Indeed, the issue of morale and mental well-being among law enforcement personnel has garnered increased attention in recent years, particularly in the wake of high-profile incidents involving police use of force and calls for reform. Advocates argue that initiatives like NYPD Dance Team play a role in promoting positive officer mental health and improving community police relations. Nevertheless, questions persist about the allocation of resources within police departments, especially in light of ongoing debates about budget priorities and the need for comprehensive reform. Yeah. As cities grapple with these complex issues, the role of recreational programs like the NYPD Dance Team will remain. A subject of debate and scrutiny. Officer Martinez, let me get your name right here. There we go. Autumn Rain Martinez, you expressed disappointment at the negative comments, emphasizing the team's goal of fostering camaraderie and unity among officers. Here's the thing. I understand the frustration and the scrutiny received, but blame your superiors or anyone that thought it was a good idea to prop you guys up and put you on the news, especially in response to the lack of accountability with the way you treat citizens in New York. We just watched migrants that were vilified and vilified for attacking the police. Vilified for attacking the police by the police. The police who had the footage and doctored the footage in an attempt to make migrants criminals, when in fact, this same footage that the police had actually in its entirety showed that these migrants were defending themselves against the police. And you want us to be happy that you have a dance team that's performing on the news. This is supposed to be about you guys' mental health and camaraderie and you know, supposed to make you guys feel good. You want us to clap for you. That's what it boils down to. You want us to celebrate that you have a dance team. You want us to celebrate these things that you're doing for yourselves. Y'all thought y'all ate. Y'all thought y'all were going to get on the news and do this choreography. And it was going to be like, yay, cops. Wow. Like, wow. Wow. That's what y'all thought was going to happen. Amazing. This is so good. So good community relations. You guys are doing a stellar job. Kudos. Yes. Yes, Rudo. Protect and serve is their West Side Story. Like, come on. Come on. Someone said, agreeing with your depressing assessment that T-Rump is set to win. With that in mind, will the fiancés be dedicating any time to Claudia and Karina running as PSL, I believe, and Dr. Cornel West's bid for presidency? We did address Cornel West's bid for presidency on a previous show. And you know what? I think, yeah, we're going to continue to talk about the election moving forward. We definitely will. There's no way we're not going to. We're going to stay engaged. And thank you guys for, you know, staying engaged with us. Oh, police need better mental health? Quit your jobs. Great suggestion. Thank you again for that text. Yes. Oh my God. Cop Rock. Don't you dare. Is that Rudo? Rudo, don't you dare bring up Cop Rock. I'm not doing this. We're not talking about Cop Rock again. Morgan didn't remember the show. I'm older. So here's that. Anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning in. That was News of My Fiance. Brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Podcast editor Kyle G, the champ. Thank you everyone that tuned in on live. Thank you everyone that texted throughout the show. I am 2 minutes over. This is ridiculous, but you know what? Don't let the individual distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening. And as Morgan would say, bye.